Brother Richardson is our speaker this morning. Brother Richardson has been in the ministry a long, long time. He's been an in-state missionary. He's presently now pastoring the church in Lomita. And I say a long, long time, it just simply meant that he started as a child.
Amen.
Like I am, so he's not that old, really. But he has acquired a great deal of wisdom through the Lord's work. And the things that he'll say will be practical. And you need to listen and profit from the mistakes of others, like myself and Brother Richard and others, because Amen. We all make them. And the problem is, I still make them. It just seems like it just that way. So I trust that you'll listen attentively as Brother Richardson brings you the message. Brother Richardson.
I'm really not that old. As the pastor pointed out, I'm only 5 months older than him. If I'm not mistaken. I left myself wide open there. I'd like to turn with me this morning to the book of 2 Timothy 2:15. One of probably the most familiar scriptures to you, being in school here, that of all the texts, all the verses of the Bible. I want to talk to you this morning more than probably than preach. Here are four other times I've had the privilege of being a speaker in the chapel. I've brought messages from different aspects of the scripture. I've had several mentioned about the message on the four rivers, and Genesis, and Nehushtan, a few other texts that I've used in the past few years. But the message this morning will not be along this line at all. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let us again do the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you this morning for the privilege of being here to assemble these, my brethren. Thank you for your word that you left for us to study that we might know your will for our lives. Lord, I pray this morning this hour, that you would use me in this moment, this service, to impart those things that you would have to be imparted to the listeners. Open my heart and recall in my memory things I've studied, that I might present them pleasing to you, whether it be pleasing to us or not. Forgive us of our sin and shortcomings, because we're still weak and unworthy in this flesh. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. As I mentioned a moment ago, this is probably one of the most familiar verses to you of all those in the Bible. You've heard it many times in your classes here at school. Study to show thyself proven unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. As I considered the subject for the message this morning, this verse bore upon my mind. I decided that I was probably one of the most qualified people in this school to speak to you on this subject that I want to speak to you about. And I don't say that boastingly. I just say it from a fact that I believe this is a fact. There are many misconceptions about, or have been at least over the years, many misconceptions about call the ministry, the work of pastor, the preaching of the word. Many years ago, I surrendered to the ministry. I was a young man, very impressionable. I was still in high school. And being impressionable, I listened to a lot of people. But many of them I listened to, I should not have listened to. There used to be an idea that if a man was called to preach, all he had to do was read a text, read the scripture until something just appealed to him, get up, open his Bible, open his mouth, and God would fill it. I preached under that misapprehension for a long time. I feel as a result of that that there were many people who starved spiritually under my ministry in years gone by. I'm very serious this morning to all of you. You might call it a time of confession, in a sense. But I thank the Lord that He has a way of righting our wrongs, bringing our ship back on a level keel when we get it tilted over too far. Paul said to Timothy, to study, show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Study implies more than just opening your Bible and reading it off the top of your head. Study involves, I believe, instruction from others. And I want to try to show you that this morning. I don't know exactly, this message will not be very well homiletically put together. I'm still trying to learn how to homiletically put a message together. It's hard to change old habits that man has developed over years. Brother McClung, I'm sure, will verify this as well. You see, I used to have the idea that it was a disgrace for a man to preach with an outline. I came by that idea because, as I said earlier, I listened to what other people said as a youngster, a young man, impressionable. And being human, I certainly wanted to be accepted by those in the churches that I had the privilege of preaching to. I found since that time that it's far more important to be accepted of God than it to be accepted by man. I'm not ashamed to preach with an outline anymore if I could just learn how to make one properly. I use an outline for several reasons. Now, I'm being honest with you this morning. There was a time when this was what Art Richardson was known best by. He preached without an outline. Oh, great. Right. You that are just beginning in the ministry, I plead with you with everything that I have that you stay in school and learn all you can. When I first surrendered the ministry, I had an opportunity to go to school at night, an extension school from, I believe it was Jacksonville Baptist College in Texas, extension school in Dallas, where I live, go at night. I went a few weeks at night, and other things became more important to me. I had an opportunity to go preach some places, and I had to seem to make a choice. Someone asked me one time why I didn't go ahead and finish my schooling. And here's the famous statement that I made. And if you've never eaten your own words, you know what it's like. My statement was this. Why should I spend my time foolishly in school when there are people out there dying and going to hell, and I can spend my time reaching them with the gospel? Well, the thing of it is, if you're really going to school, you're going to be witnessing to other people anyway. You're going to be reaching people with the gospel. So, what I'm trying to get to this morning is the fact that I believe I've come to become convinced, or else I wouldn't be in school, that a man needs to be study the Word of God, he needs to have some instruction. And I want to give you a few points of thoughts here. These have just been some opening remarks. You thought I already got in the message, didn't you?
you thought I was already in the message, you know it wasn't very well homiletically put together. Those were just the introductory remarks. Paul so told Timothy to study, show himself proven to God. What was he to study? You know, Jesus said in John 5:39, search the scripture for them if you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. He gave a brief summary of the Old Testament. He told us what the Bible is all about. The Bible is all about Christ from Genesis to Revelation. He's the central person of the Bible. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says that the gospel is the how Jesus died for our sins according to the scripture, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. This tells us what the gospel is. What I'm leading up to is that every doctrine, everything that you might endeavor to teach or to study in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is related to the gospel in some way. Right? Okay. Paul, I want you to turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy now, if you will, to the first chapter, verse 11. Paul has instructed this young man, Timothy, to study the Word. Study to show thyself approved. And study, if a man has no opportunity to have instruction, if he just can study only by himself, if that's the best he can do, then that's the best he can do. But if he has an opportunity to be instructed, to listen to someone else, he should take that opportunity. Someone else who can teach him. In 1 Timothy 1:11, Paul says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. The point I want to, bring to you from this verse is the fact that Paul had something committed to him. That was the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I said, any doctrine that you might want to speak about, any subject you might want to speak on in the Bible is related to the gospel. Paul said this was committed to his trust. Now, we know Paul was an inspired writer. He wrote, 14 books out of the 26 of the New Testament. And yet, Paul himself had to be taught. He tells us in the book of Galatians, the first chapter, that he was taken into Arabia and taught of the Lord. I don't know of any better instructor to get than the Lord himself, do you? Amen. But Paul was a highly educated man when God saved him. Was he not? He had no need of further learning in order just to get an education. He was highly educated as far as education is concerned, but he knew nothing about God because he was so ignorant he thought he was doing the will of God when he persecuted the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet Paul needed to be taught, and so God took Paul aside and taught him. I believe he taught him for 3 years. That's my understanding of Scripture. I'm not going to get into that. Some may feel like that. He was not there for 3 years in Arabia, but definitely God took him aside and taught him. Paul was instructed in the Lord, and that gospel was committed to him as a result of that instruction. And this passing of the commitment of the gospel from God to Paul, and then from Paul to someone else. In the same first chapter of 1 Timothy, verse 18, look at that verse with me, if you will. Paul says to Timothy, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Now Paul says, I'm committing unto you that which has been committed unto me. And I'm committing unto you according to the prophecies that have went before. Paul saw a need to be instructed, and he saw a need for Timothy to be instructed. Paul committed this gospel to Timothy, but he didn't just say, Timothy, here's the gospel, go preach. Paul taught Timothy. He spoke of him as his son in the ministry. He wrote two books addressed primarily to him. Timothy talked of Paul, and yet what did Paul tell him to do? Now think about this for a moment, if you will. Paul says, you're my son in the ministry. I've taught you these things. I commit this to your trust. Now you're fully equipped to go. Is that what he said? No. According to our text, he said, study to show thyself approved. There was no place for Timothy to cease to study. You see, personally instructed by Paul. If I couldn't be personally instructed by the Lord, the next fellow in line I'd want would be Paul. I hate to say that. Maybe none of the instructors here heard me. But being instructed by Paul, Timothy had just begun to learn. He just begun to learn. So Paul told him to study. Now, he had been personally taught by Paul. This had been committed to him personally by Paul. And still, Paul says, study. You know what I expect to do when I finish what the time I have in school here, the course, whatever it might be? I expect to be almost equipped to study God's Word. That's right. Now, I've been preaching the Word of God, the plan of anybody that preach the plan of salvation. Anybody's really been saved. But that's not all there is to the Word. Right. It didn't take God 66 books to tell a person just how to be saved. You see, more to it than that. There are depths in the Word of God that have not yet been sounded by the men of the ministry. I think we have some of the best, greatest instructors in the world in our school here at CMBI. But there are depths of the Scripture that they have not sounded yet. That's why I say when I leave school, finish school, I hope to be back next year, Lord willing. I hope that I'll not let anything other than the providence of God, as His providence to see us, keep me from continuing to study God's Word under instructors. I can get in my office, Brother McClung, and take out my Bible and the books that I have there and read and study, and I can go to a certain length, certain depth, and that's all. We're to continue to learn from our brethren. Paul was taught by the Lord, yet Paul, an inspired writer, saw fit to study himself. He committed this to Timothy. Timothy taught all that Paul could teach him, and yet Paul says Timothy continued to study the Word. Now, turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy, the first chapter, verse 13 and 14. Now remember this, Paul says to Timothy, study, show thyself approved. Paul received instruction from God. Paul passed that commitment on to Timothy. Yet he told Timothy to continue studying. In 2 Timothy 1, 13 and 14, we find these words. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Paul said the gospel was committed to my trust. Then he said to Timothy, I'm committing it to your trust. Now he says to Timothy, you keep that which I have committed to you, but you keep it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Timothy was taught, yet Timothy was told to study. And Timothy was also instructed to lean heavily upon the Holy Spirit in keeping that which he had that had received. As I mentioned a while ago, I used to have the idea many years ago that you open your mouth and God fills it. That's not what meant by keeping this by the Holy Spirit. It simply means that the Holy Spirit here helps us to use what we have learned. We're not in the days of inspiration. The days of inspiration ceased with the inspiration of the Scriptures. The only way that I know to get what God's Word has to say is to study it. But I do believe that the Holy Spirit will help us to illuminate our minds as we study the Word of God. And we study it under teachers that are also led of the Spirit. I thank God that we have Spirit-filled men teaching here at the school. I'm hoping that you can learn something from my mistakes. Brother Patterson said in the beginning, before I came to the stage, I've made many mistakes over the years.
But only recently have I realized the depth of some of those mistakes. I think back over the times when I would grab up my Bible on the way to church. Years ago, for many years, for 16 years at least, I've worked a secular job and tried to preach too. God says that preaching is a full-time job. I remember many times I would grab my Bible, even on the way to church. Sometimes my wife would drive and I would be reading, trying to decide what I was going to preach on. And I thank God that in spite of my shortcomings, souls were saved. But that's as far as I can say. They were just saved. I could go back to this morning. I could go back to the very first church that I tried to pastor. I was just the preacher, really. My first attempt at pastoring, and I was their first pastor, began as a mission. I could go back there today, and I would dare say that the only ones left in that congregation that were there when I was there were those old-timers that were already sound in the faith when they came in to that work. They stuck with it. Many of those that were saved, made profession of faith in my ministry, have long since gone out of the work. Why? Because I fed them skim milk. I'm saying this to help you, brethren, avoid mistakes that I've made. God says to you to feed his flock. If you feed them skim milk, they'll dry up and wither away. They must have some food, some nourishment. You that are young in the ministry, preach every time you get a chance. But stay with the study of the Word of God. One last point I want to bring. Turn with me to the same book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 2. Well, let's read verse 1 and 2. Paul says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." The Word of God does not come to you by inspiration. That is, by that I mean your understanding of it by inspiration. It was inspired once. Then it must be studied. 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 Discerned. Paul was taught of the Lord. This was committed to him. He committed to Timothy. And he tells Timothy to continue to study. Continue to study. And he tells Timothy to keep that commitment by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then, you see how God decides to perpetuate this thing. In 2 Timothy 2 and 2, he said, "What I've committed to you, not only should you keep, but now you commit it to others." Look at that. "The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." The Word of God we have today is because men have taught others down to the ages of time. I thank the Lord for men that are willing to teach the Word of God. Timothy passed it on to faithful men. They taught others, and over and over. And today,
you and I have the privilege of being the beneficiaries of that teaching that was committed to Paul, which Paul committed to Timothy, which Timothy committed to faithful men, which they committed to others who would teach others. We're the beneficiaries today. I admonish you by my experience, by the word of God and by my own experience, that you study to show yourself approved to God. Workman needeth not be ashamed. Honestly, there have been times in the years gone by that I was ashamed, not of the gospel, not of Christ, not of his church, or not of his truth, but I was ashamed of his workmen, me, because there were times I could not adequately answer the questions of those inquiring hearts and minds. Times I could not adequately defend the truth. Peter says always to be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within. The only way I know to do it is the prescription that God's laid down. One to teach another, to teach another, to teach another. You stay under the teaching of men that have been taught as long as you possibly can, that you might do as Timothy was instructed to do here, committed to faithful men.
Amen.
You'll be able to tell from your congregation who are the faithful ones, who will take that word and the responsibility of it and be faithful to it. You commit it to them. But if you don't have something to commit to them, then you have cheated them.
Amen.
You cheated them. Thank you for your attention. And again, I take a little instruction from one that's speaking.